Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Good Faith Conciliation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 29, 2015, the Supreme Court issued its decision in Mock Mining v. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. This case involves the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC's, Title VII duty to investigate claims of discrimination levied against an employer and to make good faith efforts to eliminate discriminatory employment practices before filing suit against that employer. The question in this case is whether and to what extent a court may enforce the EEOC's duty to conciliate discrimination claims before filing suit. In a unanimous opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the court held that courts have the authority to review whether the EEOC has fulfilled its statutory duty to conciliate discrimination claims prior to filing suit against an employer. The judgment of the Seventh Circuit was vacated and remanded. To discuss the case, we have Paul Meringoff. Mr. Meringoff is a retired attorney in Washington, D.C., and is a blogger at powerlineblog.com. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Meringoff.
Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which bars employment discrimination, requires the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, known as the EEOC, to try to negotiate an end to employers' alleged discrimination before it sues the employer. The issues in Mock Mining versus EEOC, which was recently decided by the Supreme Court, were, one, whether a court can enforce this requirement, and two, if so, what the standard for reviewing the EEOC's conciliation effort should be. The court decided that district courts should and must enforce the requirement that the EEOC conciliate, but that the review should be quite limited. The issue arose because sometimes when the EEOC wants to sue an employer, it doesn't really try to conciliate beforehand. Instead, it may simply present a demand without any explanation. If the employer presents a counteroffer or asks for an explanation or for more information, the EEOC will sometimes declare that conciliation has failed and will proceed to court. Sometimes the EEOC doesn't even present an offer. In these circumstances, the employer typically will assert as a defense to the lawsuit that the EEOC failed to meet its statutory obligation to conciliate. This has long been deemed an acceptable defense to raise. However, in the Mock Mining case, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruled, in effect, that there is no failure to conciliate defense. It found that if the EEOC says it engaged in conciliation, that's the end of the matter. There is no judicial review. The Supreme Court, in a 9-0 decision, rejected this view. Justice Kagan, writing for the court, explained that the language of Title VII imposes a mandatory duty on the EEOC to attempt conciliation and makes that duty a precondition of filing a lawsuit. She noted that Congress rarely intends to prevent courts from enforcing such directives to federal agencies. Only if a statute's language or structure demonstrates that Congress intended an agency to police its own conduct will the presumption in favor of judicial review be overcome. The court found that the language and structure of Title VII do not overcome the presumption in favor of review. The language of Title VII is mandatory. It says, quote, the commission shall endeavor to eliminate an alleged unlawful employment discrimination practice by informal methods of conference, conciliation, and persuasion, unquote. Moreover, Title VII makes conciliation a key component of its approach to eliminating employment discrimination. In fact, cooperation and compliance are Congress's preferred means of resolution. The court thus concluded that the EEOC must attempt conciliation and that there must be communications between the parties. In its communications to the employer, the EEOC must tell the employer what employment practice has caused harm, and which employees have suffered the harm. In addition, the employer must be given an opportunity to discuss the matter. And most importantly, courts have the authority to review whether the EEOC has fulfilled these obligations. But what kind of review should courts conduct? This was the second issue in the case. The EEOC argued that if there is to be any review at all, it should be confined to examining certain EEOC documents. Specifically, its letter informing the employer that conciliation will take place, and its letter informing the employer that conciliation has failed. The court rejected this approach. The EEOC's assertions that it's willing to conciliate and that it has conciliated to no avail may or may not be true. If the employer disputes them, the district court cannot simply take the EEOC's word for it. Mock Mining argued for a full searching review of the conciliation process. It wanted district courts to decide whether the EEOC has negotiated in good faith, using the model that implies under the National Labor Relations Act. The Supreme Court rejected this approach as well. Title VII, it noted, is very different from the National Labor Relations Act, which makes good faith bargaining an end in itself. The goal of Title VII isn't to promote talk, but rather to eliminate discrimination, the court pointed out. In addition, the language of Title VII suggests that the EEOC has considerable leeway in the conciliation process. The statute speaks of informal efforts to secure terms, quote, acceptable to the commission. The standard urged by Mock Mining would be inconsistent with the flexibility Congress contemplated, the court found. In addition, the court emphasized that Title VII explicitly protects the confidentiality of conciliation efforts. The kind of review called for by Mock Mining would require disclosure and use of confidential material. How else could a court assess whether the EEOC's efforts at conciliation were reasonable? Rejecting the approaches to judicial review proposed by the parties, the court formulated its own. If a dispute arises over conciliation, the EEOC must present the district court with an affidavit declaring, one, that it informed the employer of what it did wrong and which employees suffered as a result, two, that it tried to engage the employer in some form of discussion so as to give it an opportunity to remedy the alleged discrimination, and three, that these efforts failed. The employer can then present its own affidavit or other evidence indicating that the EEOC did not provide the requisite information about the charge or attempt to engage in discussion. If the employer does this, the district court must then conduct the fact-finding necessary to resolve the dispute. Now, the court's decision raises several questions. One is whether district courts can adequately conduct even the limited fact-finding Justice Kagan described without the disclosure of some confidential information. That's a potential problem in some cases. The bigger question is whether the Mock Mining ruling is better ultimately for the EEOC or for employers. The decision gives something important to both sides. For employers, it denies the ability to avoid, it denies EEOC the ability to avoid the conciliation process altogether. The EEOC's handling of conciliation is not shielded from all review, as the EEOC wanted. And the EEOC must provide employers with such basic but important information as whom they are alleged to have harmed. From the EEOC's perspective, the decision does shield it from the kind of fairly searching review some courts of appeals have mandated. In fact, the EEOC can be as inflexible as it wants to be during conciliation. The upshot is that when the EEOC decides it wants to sue an employer rather than settle informally, it can still short-circuit conciliation by insisting on an unreasonable take-it-or-leave-it offer. It just needs now to jump through more hoops. And the EEOC often has an incentive to see conciliation fail, namely to make sure that the high-profile cases it really wants to take to court aren't resolved informally, before the EEOC has the opportunity to publicize the case, which it's not allowed to do if conciliation succeeds. So in the end, despite losing this case and by a unanimous vote, the EEOC may be a little happier with the court's decision than the Title VII defense bar is. From the public's point of view, I think it has reason to be happy that the position that a government agency can simply avoid altogether its federally mandated obligations has been soundly rejected.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.